go ahead and get into the Word tonight. If y'all would, just please turn to Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs 3, and we're going to read 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Thank y'all for standing for the Word of God. Praise God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Very familiar passage. Matter of fact, mine's highlighted and underlined. I'm sure it's been studied and spoke on before. When you get there, just say amen.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Praise God. Powerful words. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Dear Lord, as we come to You now, dear Lord, as Your word is read, dear Lord, we just ask right now, dear Lord, that You just touch each and every one of us, dear Lord, that our ears will hear and our hearts will be filled with Your word. Lord, we ask that You'll just bless the man that's bringing forth Your word, dear Lord. It's not about him, it's all about You. And dear Lord, we just will ask this message go forth to edify You and You alone. Dear Lord, thank You for all that's here tonight. Lord, thank You for Your protection and Your guidance. And we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated if you can. Praise God. I may do some pacing, so I'm going to use the handheld. I have a tendency not to hold it close enough, so if you can't hear me, just let me know. But I'm going to read that scripture again in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There's a direction here that I wanted to really emphasize. One of them is not to lean on your own understanding. And the other one is, at the bottom of 6, it says, He shall direct thy path. That's a powerful, powerful thing for me right now, because in the new direction that I've headed in my career, I've been called back to work. They brought me out of the mothballs. And one of our salesmen quit, and they asked me to get on the road. Well, I'm relying on something that's more than just I'm used to doing. I used to drive years and years ago, but traffic's changed. And being a salesman, you hit a lot more stops. When I ran a route, it was different. You just had so many stops you kind of knew your routine. But mine's constant, and I have to rely on something. So I'm going to ask y'all right now, and I see different ages in here. How many of you actually know what a compass is, a directional compass, one you can hold in your hand? All righty. I know the GPSs and all the little funny things, the Waze and all the apps and all that's going forth. But I was raised with a compass. And I'm just going to read it to you real quick. It's a directional compass is what it's called. And they're usually small, about the size of a pocket watch, for those of you who know what a pocket watch is. A little bit bigger than the watch on your wrist. They have a dial. They're solid on the bottom, usually have a glass or plastic on the top. And they have a dial in it and a plate underneath. This marked northeast, south, and west. They just do, by the first letter. And then you got your degrees in between. So with a compass, if you always hold it level, that's what we were taught to do, is you hold it level, put it in the palm of your hand was the way we always did it, and you knew the direction of each way it went. We know the sun comes up in the east, so if you point it and you're pointing north, you know the sun will come up on this side and it'll set on the west, on the other side. So that's just a basic idea of a compass. It's also used in so many places. You know, you think you know your direction. Some of us are directionally challenged. We can get in an area and we can pull in one way, and when we get ready to leave, we're not going to go back the way we're supposed to. We tend to want to go the other way or shift around. But I'll be honest with you, when you're in the woods or when you're out, I've done some survival training while I was in the service, and there were places we were at that you could not see the sky hardly. It was it was in the deep forest, it was rainforest, and we were in a position where you really had to find your way around. So without the compass, you really didn't know which way you were going. So if I knew if I headed, and I'm going to use the example of east, I knew I should hit water. And once I found water, I knew I could either go upstream or downstream. So that was the compass that I had. And also, it gives you a chance, if you're looking at a map, you know, each map has the directions on it. You got the cities and the states and your highways, and now they're a lot more fancier than they used to be. But they also, somewhere on the front of that map, it's got the markings, and it'll let you know if it's, you know, how much the calibration, how much is a mile. Usually you have a measurement, that many is that many miles. And also it tells you the direction. Normally the top of the map is north. So it's just me kind of giving you a little quick thing on where we're going with this tonight. So let me talk a little bit about what I've been facing. Like I told you, I haven't been on the road in a long, 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 long time. So I'm out there going to places that I've never really lived. I mean, we've mostly lived in Cobb. We traveled a lot when I was a kid, but of course I didn't have to worry about going anywhere because I knew Dad had it under control, so I just sit in the back and slept. But when I get out there, you get into Decatur, Lawrenceville, Stone Mountain area. I mean, I can get you to the park, but that's about as far as I can go. I can get you downtown to the stadiums. I knew how to do that, but that was about as far as I could go. So now, besides the compass, they have a GPS, which is electronic, or the apps. Good thing about a GPS, it talks to you. You know, the compass doesn't. So if I'm drifting away in my compass and I'm following a trail, and if I don't pay attention to the compass, I'm going to be going in the wrong direction if that trail curves off. But with the GPS, it does everything but call me dummy, because it'll say turn right in 1,000 yards. All right, so I'm downtown. I don't know where I'm at. There's lanes everywhere, and all these other people know where they're going. And I'm one of those that don't want to just stop in the middle of the road. So I'll try to keep riding, and it says turn right. Well, I'll look, and I'm in this lane. And you think the right lane's a turn only, so you get over there. But you don't realize that's for another road. So you got to get back over and get back in. So my GPS will tell me when I get to a point and I've missed my turn. It'll say, go to the next road, turn left, take another left, take another left. Basically saying, take a U-turn and go back to where you were. And that's what I face every day. And this is the kind of thing. So our message tonight is just a simple title. It's spiritual compass. And as we read this, and I was thinking about it, and everything that I trust, if that GPS goes out, matter of fact, I called Elaine one day, it went dead. I bought a new little adapter that you could plug your phone and your GPS into, and I finally had to throw it out and just plug the GPS in, because I was in an area where I had no idea where I was. I mean, I knew I was on a paved road. That was about the extent of it. And so there's some areas I probably look like a spooky old guy riding around trying to make U-turns in parking lots and all this kind of stuff. But I've run the routes a few times now, so I'm getting a little more familiar. But that's where I get in more trouble. I'm riding down the road, and I said, that looks like it. I turn. It's not. So I have to find my way back. How's your spiritual compass? You know, the Lord is placed in our heart, in our minds, and He's given us everything that we need. As long as we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we ask for Jesus Christ to be our Lord, we accept Him and we ask Him to be our Redeemer, then we are allowed to have His Spirit. And then as we're filled with the Holy Ghost and everything that's there, God has promised us that He will direct us and guide us through life. But it's just like that compass. I was talking about, I'm going back a long ways. When and I'm not bragging, this is just something I had to do. It was an escape and survival course that we were put into. It's about a 10-day thing. The last couple of nights to graduate, you were supposed to escape. And which we did. They let us. You know, they acted like they didn't see us. And you're crawling through whatever you can, trying to get to where you needed to go. And I got into some places that really you didn't know if it was day or night. And, you know, they were out searching for us and everything we were supposed to do. But there was a time the guy that was with me, we went in pairs, he had the compass. And I know for a fact, the trail got easier going this way. We went this way. And after we kept going and kept going and kept going, I asked him, I said, are we going the right way? He said, well, this is the way the trail goes. I said, yeah, but what does the compass say? And we had almost made a loop and we're back behind where we had escaped versus where we should have been. And that's almost the way I feel sometimes about my life. I know God is directing me. I know He's given me everything that I need. He even says in 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. In my journeys, there are paths I've taken that seemed easier than I believe the path that God really wanted me to do at that time. There are decisions I've made that sounded good, they felt good, They tasted good, all the little things. They tickled my eyes and my ears and all these things. And it was such at the point, it was like, it was a good thing to do. You know, I left a job and took another job and never really prayed about it. And I got myself into a situation. But see, God has promised me that if I don't, it's not my understanding, it's the direction He wants me to go in. And that's why I want to talk to y'all tonight. You're a Wednesday night crowd. I know you choose to be here. And I'm very blessed to be part of y'all and get to worship with y'all and do all the things that we do. But I want to mention this to us, our life each day. We get up in the mornings. I don't know about y'all's routine, but ours is pretty much either I leave an hour or so before Miss Elaine, or sometimes I get to leave about the same time she does. But if we're both up, we flip on a TV. You want to know what the weather is. They used to call it the school bus weather. You know, do you send your kids out in a jacket, a sweater, or whatever? You want to know what the traffic's like fixing to head towards town. And these are area things that happen every morning. But then there's other times when you get ready and you're not prepared. But see, if we read our scripture tonight and we study this, in 6 it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Direct my path. God's going to guide for me. He gives me the tools to work with. Of course, He gives us, you know, we all have something that God has given us. You know, we might not all have that spirit of discernment, but we could be in prayer, or we could be somebody that gives, we could be whatever, teachers, whatever it is. But God has directed us, and what we want to do tonight, I want to talk about this just for a little bit. As you know that in the Old Testament, and that's what we're studying in the other adult class, We're just leaving Numbers, fixing to go into Deuteronomy. But if you look at Exodus, as God prepared, and the Hebrew children, as they were led out of Egypt and they were directed, of course, they were happy to get out of there. You can imagine. They got to the Red Sea. And then they looked at Moses and said, what's happened here? Pharaoh's behind them. There's hills beside them. There's water in front of them. And God opened up the Red Sea and led them through. So they're happy again. And they're worshiping God. And then that they get back in the routine. And next thing you know, they won't, you know, He gives them manna to eat, and then they want meat. So He gives them the quail and all the things that He does. And there's so many things they do. He gives them their guidance. But one of the most important things He did in this journey, it is out of Exodus, and I'm going to read it to you. And it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night." He so perfectly mapped everything out He did. He provided for them to get out of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. He provided their water, their food. Everything that He's done for them, His provisions. They did not have to worry for themselves, except when they got in their flesh. God directed them to do so many things. If you even read and study, and I know y'all are Bible studiers, their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. The things that they did and all the different things. But yet when God had to, He had to discipline them also. Even to a point to where they came to the promised land. 12 spies were sent in to look at this promised land. That God had already said, "The land I give you." They came back. And of course everybody talked about it being a land of milk and honey. But as they came back, what happened? 10 of them said, "But there's giants. There are people, there's no way we can take this land." God already promised it to them. They were using their understanding and their eyes and their flesh. God had already promised it to them. But yet there were two. And as we know, that was Caleb and Joshua who said, "Yes, we can go ahead and take it." But because of them not wanting to go in or not feeling they could, they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness. Until a whole generation died, except for Caleb and Joshua of that group. And so where do we go from there? I'm talking about Old Testament. We're talking about studies. And I don't want y'all ever to believe that that's yesterday stuff. That is the same scripture that leads us into the New Testament today. It guides us and directs us in our path. So my path, I was talking about my GPS or the compass that we used. I've talked about different things. I'm pulled by different things. I choose to do things that a lot of times are appealing to me, but I have to ask, are they God's will? You know, if you take so many things we've talked about, we've all had situations, I'm sure. I'm not speaking for y'all as much. When I say we, it's in a general connotation. But as we get closer and closer and we go into the New Covenant, we go into the New Testament, and there's so many things that's been provided, and Jesus comes, our Savior, and He walks with them, and He has His disciples, and He guides them. They see Him minister. They see Him heal. They see Him do all the miraculous things that He does. And then when He starts telling them that He's going to have to leave, the understanding I can't imagine in their mind. They had done everything with Him, and all of a sudden He's saying He's got to leave. And that's where I want to get to tonight. Your spiritual compass is something that God's placed in our heart. And as we receive Him, He should be able to check us. He should be able to say, you don't need to get upset about that. This is okay. This is your day. I'll take care of everything for you. It's not your understanding. Just leave it with me. Leave it with me, Jesus says. The Holy Ghost is there to guide us and protect us and to lead us. Even when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Ghost will intercede for us in an utterance. And that is the most powerful thing we can do. The Holy Ghost is our guide. And I've got some scripture, and I'll get into it a little bit this morning. But if we flip over to John 14, if anybody wants to follow, if not, it's fine. I'm just going to read 14:26. And I've already cheated. I marked my Bible. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto thee." That compass, that spiritual compass that God gives us, and that guidance that each and every one of us have, it'll guide us in our daily walk. It guides us in our studies. It guides us in our needs. There are times when, I'm going to be honest with you, you start getting angry about something or get worked up, and all of a sudden you feel that you don't need to do that. Start to say something and you're checked all of a sudden. Start to do something, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't need to be here. I don't need to do this. That spiritual compass, we should all let it lead us and guide us. Don't go with the flow, just like I was talking about. Don't go with the easiest trail. Don't go with what, you know, we talk about it, what feels good, what sounds good necessarily. But I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. There are times where He's going to put us in a position that we're probably going to say, "Who, me, Lord? I'm not able to do that. Who am I to speak or to get up in front of this group or even whatever?" You may be led in your heart, and I know we've talked about this a lot in our testimonies and our men's group, and I know the ladies have, and even from the pulpit. Sometimes the Lord might lay on your heart to place a 20 in somebody's hands or to buy them a meal or something. That's that spiritual compass. I want us to think about that tonight. I don't want us to feel like we're all alone. This news, everything going on now, this horrific things that's happening, it seems, in this country right now. The murders, the deaths, so many things that are going on. But I believe and I know that it's all in God's hands. And He's going to take care of things. He is taking care of things. It's not my place to get revenge. It's not my place to throw stones. Because I want God. He's going to handle it completely. And I believe that. And then in 16:13, as He talks, this is all in red. These are the words of Jesus. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come." As we reference the Holy Ghost, we reference the Comforter, we reference so many things. I can sit here in my heart because He's calmed my ways. There are times I get so worked up that I don't even like myself. There are times that I've got myself in a situation, but I thank God for forgiveness. I thank God for His strength. I thank Him for comforting me. But as Jesus was talking, and we're over in 16, He's telling them He's leaving. Down in 16, He says, "A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall not see me. because I go to the Father. I can't imagine the disciples as they went and they knew, but they didn't really know what was fixing to happen. They did, but they didn't. He told them what they needed to hear. But when they took him prisoner and they beat him and scourged him and crucified him, and to know that each and every one of those stripes was for you and me, each and every one of those times that he did not say stop or call down a legion of angels to put a stop to it, is for you and I. My spiritual compass is strong enough, and I want it to grow stronger. And I'm not saying I've got this thing worked out, by no means. As I told you, I still think when the GPS thing, and I don't think, that's not where I'm supposed to turn. And I get myself in trouble again. It's the same thing in my spiritual walk. I want to draw closer to Him. I want to learn more. I want to learn everything that I can about Him. And as the songs say, you know, when we get to heaven, can you imagine all the things? And I love that. I can only imagine. Will I fall flat on my face? Will I do nothing but cry? I don't know. I can only imagine. As Brother Eddie describes what heaven looks like, it's greater than any of our eyes or our imagination could ever behold. So I want to talk to you about your spiritual compass tonight, because I want you to think about these things as we get ready. Each and every one of us are going to have had or are having experiences that we need to release to God. We need direction in our past. We need directions in the ministry, in our whatever He wants us to do. Like I said, you could be just God could just lay helps on your hands, and all you're doing is a provider, which is just as powerful as anyone else. There's no higher or lower levels in my heart. But if I've experienced this travel that I've been doing locally, and I'll be honest with you, I'm ready for them to hire the person that's going to do that job, because I told Miss Elaine, it's fun. I enjoy talking to the people. Can y'all imagine? I like to talk. I've opened some new accounts. I've done some good things. But it's to get to them, and it's that, you know, you're trying to drive and the phone's ringing, and she's got me one of those earpiece things, and you can't drive and take notes and listen to a GPS at the same time. So I have to ask them, call me back and leave a message is the best way to do it. But God is just blessing us so much. He's blessing this church. He's blessing all that we have. And it's not just this church body. If we would in tune ourselves to God in the direction He wants us to do, have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, deep in our heart, and just let it work in us. Not just lock it up somewhere that we only use it when we need it. Not just pray when we only don't. Not just open the Word when there's a situation going on in your life. Not just wait till we're sad or distraught or lost before we call out the name of Jesus. Let Him guide and hook us. Let Him just take us. You know, there are testimonies in this chapel right here. That not only, I'm not talking about the little things, and when I say there's no little testimony about how great God is, but I'm talking about there's healings, there's protection, there's guidance. There's lives that have been completely turned around because of the power of God. And us accepting Him in our life, us accepting the Holy Ghost, us accepting these things. All we've heard lately is more of evangelical messages, it seems like, more revival-type messages. Now, I'm not a shouter and a runner, and if y'all see me do it, you know it's of God. But in my heart, I feel more humble. I don't want to be the one. I'm no different than anyone else. I'm very much comfortable hearing a message as I am getting an opportunity to speak. And I don't do it a lot, so yes, I get worked up. Miss Elaine puts up with me. I go to the back, and she sees me in a day or so, if I have enough notice. But I just want God to use me and use y'all. Each of you have something. Where's your spiritual compass tonight? Are you in tune? Are you taking that extra few minutes for prayer? We're studying. We've got a great book that we're doing on Friday mornings. The men's group as we meet. It's on prayer. And there's a lot of questions. You know, there's the ones that I know y'all have heard it said, but have you ever just sat down and prayed and not asked for anything? Just thank Him? Try it. I'm going to say something before it's over with. I'm not going to, I'm just going to praise Him. Oh, yeah, and bless me too, Lord. Bless my family and my kids. But see, He wants to hear us. It's like we want to hear our kids or our grandkids. While we were on vacation, I was telling some people the other night, while we were up at the beach, there's not a lot of rest for grandparents when you go on vacation with the kids. I heard Grandma and Grandpa more than I'd ever thought I'd heard it. But it was wonderful. We can still smile. But God has touched me so much with this message, and I know it probably doesn't even sound to y'all. This was for me. But when I think of the 12, and I have to say this again, I probably didn't hit on it enough. Say there's 12 of us, and God says, "Go, Moses, send 12 leaders of the tribes to check the land that I give you." And we go, 12 of us, and we get back. And we all are canvassed or asked. Well, everybody's waiting. You know, what's it like? What's it like? How great is it? Oh, it's the land of milk and honey. That's true. That's true. I think it was Joshua that spoke up and said, "Let's go." And the others said, whoa, wait a minute. There's giants. There's walled cities. There's Amorites. All the different people that's over there that, you know, I don't know if we can take them. We don't want to die by the sword. I don't want to be that person. And I'm not judging them, please, by no means. Because I'm looking at it after the fact. I've got the Word of God to live by. They were actually there. But think about it. If God says, "This land I give you," do you not think that in that compass and that direction that He sets forth, that everything will be put into place? Every step will be ordained by Him? Everything that we do is of God? If we place our direction, you know, to start a GPS, you have to put an end result. You have to put down an address. And then I found out you got to put, if it's a South Street or North whatever, you got to do that part too. Because you don't go to the right place if you don't. I was over in Alabama today and I was way off in Anniston, and it sent me up towards, I was up there fishing. I thought I could catfish, but they weren't open. Top of the river. But then I looked back at the address, and it was at Quentin Road or whatever. Anyway, it had a south. So when I put in the right address, it took me, I'd already passed this place. So I went back about 5 miles the other way. But see, when I put in that address for God, I just said, "I want to be yours. Lord, I want that ultimate. I don't want that ultimate time that you give me. I want to go to heaven. Jesus Christ, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I am a sinner. I have no idea where to start, Jesus. I have no idea what to do first except give it all to you." Just like I've heard, and I love this church, and I love the prayer of this church. I've seen people make statements. Bring your finances up here. Well, then don't pick it up and take it back. Bring your problems to the altar. Don't take it back. Leave it here. There's a song that we sing. Leave it here. There's a song that I love that I got to get with Miss Jennifer and them and the choir and ask them to sing it. It's a Southern gospel. I listen to all kind of gospel. But it says to Satan, "You can't cross the bloodline." That's who I want to be. You can come at me. You can come at me any way I want to. But you can't get me. You can't get me because you can't cross the bloodline. I may get sick. I may have problems. I may have financial failure. Whatever. But my soul is secure. Because you can't get me. You can't cross that bloodline. And I'm not doing the song justice, but if any of y'all have ever heard it, it is a cool song. And I have to get the words for it and see if it's even possible. But it's a family, I think, that sings it. But that's the whole chorus. You can't cross the bloodline. If I ask God in my life and everything that I've done, from a little kid to the times I messed up, then I go back and ask Him again. We were in a car wreck, me and some other high school kids. And by the time we got out of the hospital and all, and I went back to church, first thing I did was went to the altar. And then I got up the next age, and I was kind of like the Hebrew children as they were in the desert. Okay, I got my food. Now I got some meat. And I can do what I want to. I've been through that. And I'll tell anybody, that's not the way to follow it. That's not the right compass or GPS that you want to use. His spiritual guidance is a desire that we grow closer to Him. It's just like the relationships we're in with our family. You want to draw closer to them. And I just I just love y'all. And I know it's not a long message and I'm saying the same thing over and over again, I feel like. But I want to be like Caleb and Joshua and say, let's go. God said it's ours. Let's take it. What are we waiting on? What are you afraid of? Well, we might die by the sword. So God is, you know, as the saying is, you're a winner either way. You know, if you're doing God's will, if He wants me to come home today or if He wants me to live to be an old man, it's God's will. I want to follow Him. I want that direction. I want everything that I can. Even Jesus, if you read in John, and I know we were in John the other day too, but there's so many places, and I don't even have them all marked and things that I wrote down. But there's one more thing that I wrote down as far as guidance. And it's funny how most of Scripture comes from John this time. And I know I used the one in Proverbs, and I'm going to go back and we're going to read it again before we close. But in John 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, and y'all know this by heart, I am the light of the world. That's John 8 and 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You never be in darkness. As my guide in my everything that I have, just like He did in the wilderness. It says here, and the Lord went before them, by day a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night a pillar of fire. But what did He say? To give them light. To go by day or night. That's the same thing Jesus said, except He changed one thing. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the world. The light of life. Let's say it properly. Well, I'll be honest with you. My electronic GPS that Miss Elaine bought me that hooks on the windshield, first of all, it's hard to drive and look at it and all the different things, but it doesn't do any good for me to tell her I don't want to turn here because she still tells me to turn there. I don't want to do that to the Lord. I don't say, Lord, I don't want to do this. And I'm saying, no, Lord, I'm willing. Use me. Use me. Be my guide. Be everything that... Let me be everything I can be. And be that for you. Love y'all tonight. I know this is a different type of message. It's not a shout and running message. But in my heart, I am running. I want y'all to know that when you start your day and you start your night, always start it with Jesus and a prayer, devotional, however you work your day. But let's thank Him for what He's done for us and for Him guiding us. I thank Him for that discernment, even if it's that pop on the back of the head said, you don't need to go there. Like we're trying to teach our children, you don't need to hang out with them. We don't need to do the things that we shouldn't do. And we ask God for forgiveness and thank You for His love, His mercy, and His grace. Love each and every one of you. We're going to open the altar real quick. If anybody has a prayer request tonight. I know also as we pray, Sister Autumn said Billy's not feeling well either. Sinuses and the others that are sick. And then Miss Tabitha for sure. But if anybody has a prayer need tonight, please come up now. It's open. Praise God. Let's all stand. Attention. And again, it's not about me. It's all about the Lord. We just want to thank Him for His day. All right, if you don't have anything you want to bring to the altar, if you do have a prayer request, just show again by raising your hand or a need. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Dear Lord, thank You for Your Word. Dear Lord, thank You for always being there for us. Dear Lord, thank You for showing us, no matter what we're going through, dear Lord, that we're not alone. And dear Lord, that You are the light of this world. Dear Lord, that Your light will shine, and no matter how thick the darkness is, Lord, we know that Your light will shine. Dear Lord, I ask that You'll bless each and everyone here. Lord, You see the hands that were raised. I know You've already answered prayer requests tonight, dear Lord. But there are some things that are so deep that maybe we don't feel like we could even speak them. But, dear Lord, we ask now that You'll just let Your anointing and Your power be upon each and every one of us. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Again, dear Lord, we just thank You for this day. And in Jesus' name we all say, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all have a great rest of the week.